Opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Revolution with Warren McCartney is brought to you in part by Burger King, Bahamas Bus and Truck Company Limited, Wendy's, Fidelity Bank, J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, BTVI, the Bahamas Technical and Vocational Institution, Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, and Ministry of Finance.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney, so good to have you with us. Today we're going to deal, hopefully substantively, with two issues, but we also got some other stuff we got to clear up. So the two issues I want to deal with are what the shape of the constituency numbers look like with regard to a pending general election. As you know, the general election has to be called sometime shortly after May 24th of next year. I do believe it's going to be called sooner than that. I'm starting to wonder if it's this year for true, though. Like, I had a very strong feeling this year, and I had no problem being wrong about that, but I'm starting to wonder. The campaigning clearly looks like they're gearing up for an election. This is very early to have ratified people, but, you know, it's the Prime Minister's prerogative, so I couldn't say for certain, but we'll get into it. But a couple of things I want to clear up before we get into that. So you can see the headline of the Nassau Guardian: take vaccine or face termination. So yesterday somebody called, said there's someone who's saying that was told he has to take the vaccination or he's going to be fired. I don't know if they were speaking of this particular instance, but certainly we now know that the owners of Sushi Rokan at Old Fort Bay Town Center are mandating employees receive the COVID-19 vaccine by June 30th. They warned that failure of staff to adhere to the policy may result in disciplinary action, including dismissal. Says Sushi Rokan has a duty to provide and maintain a safe workplace. We're adopting this policy to safeguard the health of our employees and their families, our customers and visitors, and the community at large from COVID-19, which is reduced by vaccinations. In making this decision, management has reviewed recommendations by the World Health Organization and the government of the Bahamas. As government's rollout of the vaccine administration has not proceeded with the speed and efficiency we had anticipated, we are giving you ample opportunity in the form of 2 months' notice before rigid implementation of this policy. The company notes that employees who are unwilling to be vaccinated on medical grounds will be required to support their objections by providing medical certificates from qualified epidemiologists, virologists, or immunologists, or other equivalent medical specialists. In that event, management will endeavor to reassign you appropriately, although given the nature of the company's business, this may not be possible. Termination may then be inevitable. Unsupported or unjustified refusal to be vaccinated will result in the immediate termination of your employment. Restaurant is jointly owned by Michael Scott and Michael Scott QC and his wife. Scott said yesterday he'd been hearing all types of garbage on social media all day long. He's not paying attention to all that misanthropic, half-baked, illogical nonsense. Nobody's going to intimidate me. Nobody's going to threaten me and have me pay attention to any threats. And they can threaten to sue me. But I have a larger duty, so does my wife, to protect the general body of staff that works for these restaurants, as well as protect the dining public. The minute it gets out that somebody got infected dining in the restaurant, the business is done. It's finished. You might as well write it off. Secondly, that's not the kind of reputation you want or my wife wants. Scott said Bahamians need to get used to such policies. He said there will come a time when individuals who are not vaccinated will not be able to travel. Countries such as the United States, such as Canada, such as European countries, such as other countries in the Caribbean are going to require you to have proof of vaccination. And in other words, what has colloquially been referred to as a COVID passport. If you do not have that, you won't be able to leave your front door. Okay. No, Michael Scott's not backing out. He said, sue me. Michael Scott is an incredibly skilled attorney. And Sushiro Khan makes a mean ramen. I'm here to tell you. Ramen. You never had ramen? Ramen. Like noodles. No. Ramen. Not ramming. Ramen. R-A-M-E-N. It's like a Japanese noodle kind of stew thing with meat and boiled egg. It's delicious. It's fantastic. Try it, I swear to you. It's great. And Sushiro Khan has some of the best on this island. Although they had a chef, my brother, at Shima. Am I telling you about Shima over at Island House? Whew. He had some of the best ramen I ever had. I like Asian cuisine. All right, so I don't know what to tell you. He says you can take him to court. Peter Gowdy, who's with the National Tripartite Council, said it's going to discuss mandatory vaccines in the workplace. There are certain companies that are going to say you have to have a vaccine in order to be employed. I know there was another restaurant. They said that you either you get the vaccine or you pay for the weekly rapid antigen test yourself. And they're like twice weekly rapid antigen test. They're like $56. So that's maybe starting. Now, I'll be frank with you. If my job says to me, either you take the vaccine or you no longer have employment, I'll consult an attorney. And if I don't have any protection under law with regard to that, I will take the vaccine. All right? That's me. That's my personal choice. If you are diametrically opposed to take the vaccine, I guess in light of this running afoul of some law that I'm not aware of, then you may need to seek other employment. That's as much as I know about this. All right? Who's this calling? See who that is for me. Yeah. All right? Because I got matters to handle here. All right? So that's Scott. So a question. If your employer tells you have to take the vaccine, have to be vaccinated in order to continue your employment, are you willing to do that? That's my question. Second matter I want to deal with, and this will actually segue us real well into our discussion on the constituency numbers, is the fact that a PLP candidate has been placed on unpaid leave from his job at Water and Sewage Corporation. You know, it's always Water and Sewage Corporation, man. Always, always, always. It's having these union issues and these employment issues. You know, this is sloppy. Water and Sewage Corporation. You know, it's messy, and it's really it looks bad. It looks like you're not in control of what's happening. No, the employees can't run the corporation, but there's always some issue. Now, this is the latest issue, and I'll be honest with you. It is unnecessary, okay? It just is. PLP candidate placed on unpaid leave from job at Water and Sewage by Rachel Scott. Bahamas Utilities Service and Allied Workers Union President Dwayne Woods charged yesterday that the Water and Sewage Corporation acted prematurely when it placed Kirk Cornish, a Water and Sewage employee who was ratified by the Progressive Liberal Party last month, on leave. Under Article 13 of the union's industrial agreement, employees vying for national election are to be given time off without pay to prepare for same. Such persons are to resume their duties within 1 month after the election, if unsuccessful. So Cornish, who's a senior serviceman for Walden Stewart John Abaco, was ratified by the PLP for the North Abaco seat on March 16th. In a March 23rd letter to Cornish, Water and Sewage Corporation Assistant General Manager Cyprian Gibson advised, in accordance with the industrial agreement, you will be placed on unpaid administrative leave, effective immediately. In an April 13th letter to Water and Sewage General Manager Elwood Donaldson, Wayne Monroe, QC, who was also ratified by the PLP for the Freetown seat, said North Abaco has a sitting member of parliament and there is no writ of election outstanding for the constituency. Monroe said, even when a writ of election is outstanding with regard to the North Abaco constituency, Mr. Cornish will only become a candidate for election if, in fact, he successfully nominates on nomination day. Monroe demanded that Cornish be reinstated and compensated for the weeks he's been off work. All right. Woods decried the move, accusing the corporation of victimizing Cornish. All right. When contacted for comment yesterday, Warren Stewart's executive chairman, Adrian Gibson, had no comment. Listen, let's stop this. Yeah? So, at the end of the day, sense must prevail. Okay? So, the sitting executive chairman, the current executive chairman of the Water and Sewage Corporation, Adrian Gibson, is a sitting member of parliament for the Free National Movement, who has been campaigning, who has been active in parliament, who has been vociferously defending the policies of the current administration from a political point of view. You cannot tell me that it is not political victimization when the chairman of the corporation is a sitting FNM MP, but yet a line worker who's been ratified by a political party but has not yet nominated for the general election is suspended effectively from his job without pay. You're taking away this man's livelihood, claiming that he's vying for an election that has yet to be called, but yet your executive chairman, who runs the corporation on a day-to-day basis, is a sitting MP who has he been ratified yet? I don't know if he's been ratified again for a long time, but he's a sitting MP. I think he has been ratified. I'll double check. Gibson, Long Island. He's a sitting MP. And yet you're suspending someone who wants to vie for an opposing political party to vie for a seat. It doesn't make any sense, and you know it doesn't. And it looks petty and ugly and yet again messy. All right? Please. Someone, help Water and Sewage to conduct its affairs better than this. All right? Please. And that's all I got to say about that until we, well, if you want to talk about this one, until we hear from the corporation. Because that makes no sense to me. None. There's no election has been called. You can't just suspend the man from his job because he wants to be involved in political activity. That's his right. Support whatever political party he wants. Now, if he's doing something on the job that is uncalled for, that's one thing. But the industrial agreement was not set up, and you bloody well know it. The industrial agreement was not set up to disadvantage members of the union. It was set up this way to give a benefit to a member of a union, to say you can be a member of a political party, you can still vie for a political office, but we're just going to give you time off and it'll be unpaid. You have no idea when the general election is going to be called. So you're going to suspend this man for what, a year? That doesn't seem like a heartless, cutthroat, low, spiteful thing to do. He's running for the opposing party. We can be better than this in this country. We certainly can try. It's sad, is what it is. All right. Says morning, so that means he's not letting customers in who don't have the vaccine either, eh? Well, here's the thing about this, and Scott's reasoning is flawed, right? Because there's no dining inside the restaurant as it stands. So what makes you think someone is going to get COVID-19? Because you can only do takeout. Do you have some outdoor space? You can only do takeout, and you can only do delivery. I think he's got some outdoor space. You can dine outdoors, but you're not... I don't understand what you believe is happening and what the inherent risk is. So the reasoning to me is a bit flawed, but I understand that he wants his staff to be vaccinated. And so I'm balancing his right to make sure that his business is conducted in a certain fashion between the rights of the employees, keeping in mind that you don't have to have no job at one of his establishments. All right? You're free to walk. All right. But it may be discriminatory. I'd be interested to hear from a labor perspective on that. We got a call, sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm great.
All right, and good afternoon to the nation. Mm-hmm. Just had to call in on the Cornish model,
mm-hmm.
with regards to him being placed on.
I'm aware what happened, Anton. What's your comment?
On immediate administrative leave.
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one, this government, they came to power talking nonsense about jailing PLPs, right? Jailing former cabinet ministers and former executive chairmen and members of parliament
and
deputy speakers of the house, speaker of the house, and et cetera, right? They also came to office talking nonsense about no victimization of government staff, corporation staff, et cetera. I was one of many who was also victimized. And so when you speak about matters like this, it irks me because these very same people, they are the very ones who actually deserve and need to be jailed, to be quite frank, one, right? And I look forward to the day that a commission of inquiry can be called, or some kind of legislative review, conduct review can be called, and these people held to the highest standards of the law, because what they have been doing from they first came to office, they are still doing today, which is taking advantage of behemoths who they are elected to serve and to protect. These guys are demons. They have no heart. They do not care about the people. They do not care about the poor nor the middle class. They only care about the rich, their friends, family, and lovers. And all of their policies speak to the poisonous manner in which they've been conducting themselves over the last 4 years. I mean, I listened to you speak about a possible projected election over the next year, and having Mr. Cornish off his job, right? Rich is heartless. He has a family to feed. He has himself to take care of as a man. And a job is just not a salary. And so I'm calling on I don't know if he's executive or chairman, but I'm calling on Adrian Gibson to correct this mess.
He's the executive chairman, correct. Yeah.
I'm calling on the executive chairman of Water and Sewage to correct this mess and get it right and stop this goddamn nonsense.
All right, Anton, we're not going to do that, okay? Your demons and your emotion, just please, all right? My show's not for you guys to go off on any profane tangent. Hey, Juan, tell QC Scott, I'm not going to say what that says, and you probably never tasted sushi on the go at Arawak Key. They have outdoor dining by the beach. All right, good for them. Who's this on the phone? Let's do it. Just put it through. Yeah, it's fine. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
All is well. Is this Kermit or Juan?
This is Juan.
Hey, what's going on, Juan?
What's up,
I have a question.
What's up?
Is this the same Michael Scott that said that the brand new kind deal is a bad deal for Bahamian?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, sounds like you're coming out with another bad deal. So if you don't have a vaccine for, what other vaccines are out there? Polio?
Yeah, polio.
Mumps? Mumps?
Rubella? That's right, yeah.
Okay, what else?
Flu? What have we got? We got several. Yellow fever.
Yellow fever, right. So when have you ever been asked for an immunization card when you go out for a job interview or show up on your job?
Never.
Okay. No. I rest my case.
Yeah, it seems a bit preemptive to me. You know what I mean? Like it seems like he's trying to fix something that's not wrong at the moment. Like if you've been conducting yourselves properly and you've been following the protocols and you haven't seen any cases of COVID-19 among the staff, if you've been doing the rapid antigen testing, then I wonder why you're saying that they have to get vaccinated, and then you're saying that you're doing this because the vaccination program hasn't rolled out as well as expected. Has it not? Good afternoon. Put this call through for me, Crumbs. Thanks. Get it? Nope. All right. Next lap. This says, I will not eat there again. Okay. I'm gonna eat the ramen. I'm not gonna lie to you. Next time I get out there. The only reason the owners of Sushi Rokan restaurant can threaten their employees in such a way is because they know they're easily replaceable. It's pretty despicable behavior to strong-arm people that way. It says, Michael Scott's tone is white privilege at its highest. Prove that it's not the case otherwise. You want me to prove something that you have not proven? I don't think so. That's not how that works. It says, not even the major properties haven't had that tone, even though they're maybe thinking it. Just wow, QC. Yeah, I can't disprove your unproven assertion. You can't. And that's not on me. Good afternoon. Might be unable to do two pre-existing conditions. And what if there are serious medical issues arising from taking the vaccine? Who foots the bill? If it becomes chronic, who continues to foot the bill in light of the fact that we are largely uninsured? Well, I haven't seen any issues from the vaccine. Good day, Juan. I wonder if these persons asking employees to take the vaccine, if they've taken it themselves. Scott, probably. I don't know, but I don't know. They need to sue Michael Scott for implementing this discriminatory policy. Herd immunity requires about 80% population vaccination. Maybe not that much. Which in our case is about 320,000 persons. You're forgetting the kids. You got to carve out the kids. How much doses do we have in country now? Only 53,600, enough to inoculate about 26,000 persons with two doses, so the mandatory stance makes no sense. Then some countries that have restricted the AstraZeneca vaccine have said it will not be administered to persons under 50 because of the very small risk of blood clots. So why in God's name we have persons like Michael Scott, who are probably over 70, I don't think Scott's 70 yet, pressuring under 30-year-olds to take the AstraZeneca vaccine? It's discriminatory and preying on the underprivileged and desperate. It should not be made mandatory for some, but all citizens as well. If it's mandatory for employees, it should likewise be mandatory for patrons. Now, do the employees of Sushi Rokan have an issue with this? I haven't heard. I haven't heard. Good afternoon. How can a company force you to take a vaccine that doesn't prevent you from getting and spreading COVID-19? Well, you know, I could see if we're wading through the logic and the arguments, I can look at it a couple of different ways. So he's not forcing you to take a vaccine. He's saying you don't have to take the vaccine, but if you want to work here, you have to take the vaccine. That's what he's saying. So you don't have to take it. You just can't work there and not take it. Says, hi, Juan. Sushi Rokan can terminate anyone they want as long as it comes along with their full benefits, severance, vacation note, etc. This is true. He can also take full advantage of the loophole the government created for all businesses that allows them to keep staff indefinitely furloughed until 30 days after the emergency orders are lifted. So there's that. I bet that's what they'll do. Companies are literally leaving people home now and bringing and hiring others without giving their furloughed workers severance because they don't have to. All right. By the way, and someone's messaging me and they said, you know, I have to keep the standard of the show high. And that's absolutely right. So this show is not for you to call and curse anybody, to level any accusations on. And if you can't adhere to that, then please don't call me. I'll be okay. All right? So I'm very intolerant of that sort of behavior. And you know better. So, you know, Anton, you should apologize for your behavior. As angry as you may be, you don't think I want to come on here and start swearing when things happen? Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney. Just wondering if there are any labor laws that prevent such demands. If not, would it be okay if an employer requests that all employees wear a dress at work or be fired? That, you know, I don't know. I don't know enough of labor law. I don't have it in front of me in order to go that deep with it. I don't know. All right. Juan, y'all have degenerated from a banana republic to a plantain republic. The Cornish leave without pay is confirmation of this downgrade. I mean, it just smacks of rank political victimization. All right? There's no other way I can look at it. McCartney, what about the senator for the FNM who works at ZNS? I think his name is Jamal. Yeah, Jamal Moss. I know Jamal. I don't have a problem with him being a senator and working at ZNS. Look, this is a small country, all right? Despite we thinking that we're all going to get $100,000 checks and chill and be the richest country on the planet, this is a small country, all right? I don't necessarily agree with putting sitting members of parliament as executive chairman of corporations. It is something that has happened, though, for many, many years. I think Ingram shied away from it. Christie tried to shy away from it, but still did it in some instances. But we have to understand that people are going to be in politics and still have to be employed in this country. They're not independently wealthy to take off a year or however long it is on their job that Cornish apparently will be expected to take. And Jamal Moss will be a senator making $16,000 a year. He still has a family to take care of. We can't expect him to just leave his job. This is one of the reasons we need to take a look at compensation for members of parliament and actually what they do, as well as cabinet ministers. All right? We'll be back on the other side of this break.
Hello, sir. Your credit card bill is due. Hello, sir. It's time for your monthly loan payment. Tired of creditors pounding at your door? Sign up for a debt consolidation loan from Fidelity Bank and consolidate your debt into one low monthly payment. What's more, you'll also earn interest on a built-in savings account. The pandemic has curbed many freedoms, but at Fidelity, our focus is to help regain your financial freedom. Visit a branch or speak to a Fidelity Bank at 356-7764. COVID safety measures in place at all branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Hurricane season runs until November 30th. The Insurance Commission of the Bahamas encourages homeowners to be prepared. Review your insurance coverage today. Check your policy limit. Is it enough to rebuild your home? Have you accounted for everything you own and how much it's worth? Do you know the percentage of the hurricane or storm deductible in your policy? What disasters does your policy cover? For more information on how to prepare for hurricane season, visit www.icb.gov.bs.
Everyone should experience a brand new car, but not everyone can afford one. Until now, Bahamas Bus and Truck has the answer. The stylish, spacious, feature-rich yet affordable Mitsubishi Attrage. Priced at $21,900, including a three-year warranty, why not come and experience the value that Mitsubishi has built into the Attrage today? Bahamas Bus and Truck, the country's only authorized Mitsubishi dealer. Telephone 322-1722.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. You know, most days, 9 out of 10, I come in with a plan. But you get started on one thing and people want to talk about it and your plan's got to shift, and that's okay. This says, while I'm still wondering how Jamal Moss can be an FNM senator but still employed at ZNS, getting paid and campaigning, I hate a double standard anywhere. Again, I got a problem with... I don't have a problem with Moss being employed by the public service. I don't have a problem with Cornish being employed by the public service. I don't have a philosophical problem with a sitting MP being the executive chairman of a corporation, not philosophically. But that can run you up on bricks. So I don't have, they still got to get paid. All right. You can't have it both ways. You can't say that we don't have an average Bahamian, like, you know, in parliament who's not rich and wealthy, but also they can't make a living. Because if we say that, then you're going to end up with only rich Bahamians who represent a particular segment of the electorate being your political representatives in the Senate or the House. So you got to strike a balance, right? Juan, please tell me, do they have to complete or just start their homes in 2 years? What really happens in either case? Is land taken back? Nothing is clear. I don't know. I would assume if you don't complete your home in 2 years, they would take it back, but then you'll have an unfinished property sitting on the home. It's straight. They need better clarity, like I said. It says some restaurants have dining in with a rapid test or vaccinations. I don't know of any restaurants that have dining in with vaccinations. And the only restaurants I know for a fact, unless you can break out your emergency order, pandemic number 4, and tell me different, no restaurant that's not connected to a hotel or a guest house has dining with a rapid antigen test. And certainly the shops at Old Fort Bay are not connected to a hotel or a guest house. Good day, Juan. Great show as usual. This is the time these Bahamians must stand together and fight for our rights. Boycott any business establishment that's forcing its employees to take an experimental vaccine that can alter their life and health in many ways unknown. This might be extreme, but this is almost like rape, forcing your desire on someone else for your selfish needs, whereas the government... Well, no, it's not almost like rape. Rape is not optional. Yes, the rapist doesn't give you a chance, right, to walk away or be raped. So I don't like doing that. But if you wish to boycott, certainly. Juan, I'm so sick of Anton. Now using God's name in vain. Please keep him off air. Did the PLP do anything wrong to Perry with a clown? Yeah, we're just not doing that. All right? We're just not doing that. All right? We're not going to do that. I get upset, too, about things. Juan, I don't know where they found this new executive chairman, but he's not a good businessman. Paid my bill for 40 years in full. Send him my check. This guy sends my check back. Not accepting personal checks anymore instead of checking my account history. Bad businessman. Juan, a Switch Corporation doesn't accept checks? You gotta look at that. Personal checks. Why not? It says, make sure you have my money when you fire me. Well, and there's the rub, yes? You'd be walking a tightrope, but you could furlough workers who weren't vaccinated, although I don't know that you could give that excuse. And not pay them their money. Because the executive order says you don't have to at this time. But it's his business. He has a right to fire whoever he wants, with or without cause, as long as he follows the law. On the texter question about if an employer requires employees to wear a dress, I wonder if that person realizes that many employees have a dress code, which might require a specific uniform, and you could be terminated for violation of the dress code. Yeah, exactly. You're not going to show up to McDonald's, you know what I mean? And... whatever you, to work, whatever you want to wear, you got to wear a uniform. Right? You manager, you got to wear a particular uniform. You employee, got to wear it. You don't want to wear it? All right. No problem, player. All right. Ain't no gun to your head. You know, but the vaccine thing is a bit different, I believe, than that. I want the employees need two shots of vaccine. So as of now, I don't see the point of employees being vaccinated in view of the fact that no one might get two shots anytime soon. You know, one shot will give you some protection. Says Juan, don't cuss on radio. He was not raised that way. But I would really like to hear a show where you let loose and say one or two bad words. I think one day will happen. On the show, my bet will be after election. No. I mean, I'm gonna abide by the rules. Juan, the Prime Minister said he'll financially help the people in St. Vincent because of the volcano. You know, people who work for government will want money for the salary increase and how he could drop the NIB payments if the government have loose change to help other people in another country. Yeah, I wouldn't have started off with money. I wouldn't have done that, me personally. So Juan, Minister Dem, always talking about double dipping. So I guess Mr. Moss doesn't get a senator's salary and he doesn't get a salary from ZNS. That would mean he's getting two salaries at the same time from government. Yeah, he's getting two salaries at the same time from government. That's correct. It says there's always recourse to pushback should businesses or countries attempt to force vaccination on a people. We simply vote those politicians out of office and you stop supporting those businesses with your hard-earned money. We need to appreciate the power of sacrifice and being selective with who we support with our money. Now, again, on the boycott issue, you gotta speak for you. I don't know that everybody agrees with you on that, on calling for any boycott. I'm hoping the ramen chef, you know, still works there. Now that you call the restaurant's name, I got a hankering for ramen. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon.
Listen, you tell me conducting the show thing about your belly for the ramen noodles, man. we gotta take right here, right? It's seriously, I'm a data-driven person.
Yeah.
And even although the restaurant is a nice restaurant, Articles 1 of the Constitution, Chapter 3, protects the workers from arbitrary rules. You can't make up the rules, as you call Michael Scott as a QC. I don't know where he gets the QC from, but he knows that. You understand me? That's the reason why he back up by saying, can't the court.
Sue him, yeah.
If he thinks he can fight it in court, then the workers that are already there, yes, I agree, he may not be able to hire new workers under those conditions or whatever, but the workers that are already there, they have some sort of protection under the Constitution. Nothing trumps the Constitution. Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I don't know that this is necessary on Scott's part at all, right? So the government of the Bahamas, who's providing the vaccine, right, who's sourced the vaccine with our tax dollars, yes, but the government of the Bahamas has not forced healthcare workers, those who are most likely to be exposed to COVID-19, to take the vaccine. And hasn't forced police officers or defense force officers or immigration officers. It has forced no one to take the COVID-19 vaccine. And I don't know that this needed to happen like this at this point. I don't know that it was necessary at all. It says Juan Michael Scott trying to pull a Georgia Governor Brian Kemp. Oh, did he say people have to get vaccinated? Juan, how long after the first shot you need to wait for the second one? They said at least 2 weeks, at least 14 days. But they said up to 12 weeks, it makes it even more effective. That's what they say. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello, Juan.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great.
My first time calling.
Thank you.
I always listen for the past 10 years, but my first time calling.
Thanks.
And I'm sometimes I get irate because I listen to you sometimes, and we have to be balanced sometimes, and no matter what we do in life, okay? Mr. Scott, that's the Mr. Scott restaurant. If you don't like his restaurant, you don't have to go there.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah,
my son has a sushi scar. Ray's mother didn't need it when she was pregnant. She got it. So if you don't want to go there, you don't have to. we always talk about boycott. We don't do that in the Bahamas. Because guess what? If we used to boycott, Ruba Subway on and Marathon,
mm-hmm.
nobody would have been there. People die. I know many people who die from cancer in that situation up there. And you go there today, people still go in there. See, we in the Bahamas have to get real. There's certain things we just don't do.
Yeah.
Understand?
Yeah.
And I listen every day. I listen to Antoine just curse and carry on. Whatever he wants. Sometimes he talks for like an hour, I call it. And I normally go in the kitchen and get some bread and tea or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate your show.
Thank you. But I appreciate you.
I really, every day, I listen. No matter what this government do, I'm not a supporter, but no matter what they do, people always say they don't do nothing. And
yeah.
we have to be fair and balanced.
Agreed.
We should not even be talking with Scott. You know why? Because guess what? Let the people them who waken speak. Not me. I don't wake there. You understand my point?
I do. I think that's a good... I made that point. That's a good point. How do the employees feel? Maybe they don't have a problem with it. Ready to go. Well, thanks for calling. I appreciate you for calling after all this time. I agree. You gotta be balanced. I agree. All right? And it's good to have perspective. All right? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hello, Mr. McCartney.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Good day. I think you should have the authority or the power to ban Antoine for at least a week off your show.
I do have that authority.
You have the authority?
I do.
Yes, please, please do.
Yeah,
I think people who know why Antoine got fired off his job leading up and before last election. He was campaigning on the job. That's why he got fired.
You can't campaign on the job. I don't know that he did that, but he
No, he was doing it. You might know, but I know. I listen to him every day, and he said he was waking every day up there, and Fred Mitchell said he saved the BAIC $2 million up their farm store or whatever, but he was campaigning on the job every day for the PLP, so he decided to get fired.
Okay. Well, I don't know that calling a talk show in support of your political party is a fireable offense. I just want us to conduct ourselves properly and not become some free-for-all to say whatever we want on the show. I don't want to work that way, right? We'll be back on the other side. Will we talk about marijuana then? Will we talk about the constituency numbers? We'll see. Stay tuned.
Just reflect on this. If they were being fair, decent, and honest, which they're not, is a ratified candidate for the FNM. So why is he still on the job? It's a form of cheating and thieving, is what it is.
Water and Sewage Executive Chairman Adrian Gibson declined to comment when contacted. It's not the only issue the union has. Wood says they've also been tussling with the corporation to submit a counterproposal for their industrial agreement. Update them on the postponed Christmas bonus and explain when the $200,000 in overtime payments from Dorian Restoration will be paid.
Please, man, we ain't here to fight you. We here to work with you. And if we doing the work, please pay us. You paid the nurses? You paid BEC? You paid Batelco? Please. Like Oliver Twist say, give us ours.
Now, the union president said a court injunction currently prevents them from taking any industrial action, but they say they will continue to make as much noise legally as they can, as these grievances must be resolved swiftly.
And restoration work continuing at Government House. Governor General Sir Cornelius Smith touring the $9.8 million project Wednesday. Construction began in June last year. The Governor General said the renovations and restoration are much needed, as Government House has not been used as a residence in 7 years.
Phase one is what you are going to be seeing today. That is the restoration and the renovation and the repair and maintenance of Government House.
And that is the news at 1 o'clock. I'm Taylor Ferguson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Stay tuned for updates on the hour and have a great afternoon.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crock Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We were talking about Sushi Rokan's vaccination policy, as well as the what is effectively a suspension of without pay of Kirk Cornish from the Water and Sewage Corporation for, I guess, getting ratified for the PLP for North Abaco, is it? I think we need to do better than that. We need to stop doing these petty political, pulling these petty political stunts. And Anton went off on a tangent and used one of our no-fly words. So we're going to give Anton a little bit of a break to reflect on his conduct. I guess a suspension. There was never any pay involved from our end, so. So we'll give Anton a little timeout. All right, Anton, you're in a timeout for 1 week. 1 week from, as of 1 week plus 1 day. All right, so Friday, tomorrow, plus next week. Let's reflect on how we abuse our privileges at times. All right? I ain't going to just ban you. You know what I mean? Try and leave that behind in 2020. I say it, I won't. You're feeling frisky. You get too personal. Anybody could get, you know what I'm saying? But for that, we'll just 1 week, all right? And 1 day. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Oh, let's take the call. No, the call's not there. All right. All right, I wanted to talk about the delimitation of the constituency boundaries. Or more so the makeup of the constituencies as it stands with regard to the numbers. But first, let me take your text messages.
Hello, one.
Now, let me read them. Oh, hello. Hello. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Someone, I'm going to touch on the situation with the brother.
Kirk Cornish? Yeah, go ahead. You might turn your radio down, though.
With the restaurant, I think what word talk about that? That's either extortion, manipulation, blackmail, or you could call that you better. But as we know it, America put a pause on AstraZeneca and J&J. Yeah. Here it is. Now, legally, you telling me, sign a paper that if you get sick or die. You are not liable in the case of a lawsuit. You know why they put up laws? They're getting hit left and right with lawsuits. Because you give anybody any biometrics, vaccine, you're dealing with real stem cells, research or whatever, anything to do with this cell. I copy the cells. If it don't work and it don't agree with your body, it clogs up your blood. It causes blood clots.
Okay. A lot to sift through in that. We'll just leave it there. All right. That says that punishment is too harsh for Anton. Is it? One, firstly, Guardian wasn't on for 10 years. Secondly, it's not the BUT people going there. It's the people that work there that are being affected. It says ban FNMs too. If you are FNM and you conduct yourself in a fashion that is not suitable, then you will also face some time out. I have no problem with anyone calling here to espouse support for the PLP or the Free National Movement. You're just not going to do so, making spurious allegations, calling people's names, and also you're not going to do so swearing. That's one of the words that is banned by IRCA. All right? It's not how we're going to conduct this show. That's it. All right? It's not about him being a PLP. It's just about whatever specifically he said. It says, blessings, Juan. Man, we as a people like to talk about the preservation, protection, and freedom of children yet unborn in the generations to come. But some folks have a big concern when others speak up for those who find themselves in circumstances and situations they can't seem to handle because of the fear of losing their job. This is stone cold hypocrisy. Whether we work there or not, we have a right to speak on such matters. Yeah, absolutely. You can speak on it. You can speak on it for sure. That's what we're doing. Good day, Juan. Could you guys ban him on all shows? He's not banned. Just in a timeout. That's it. Just for a week. The sun will still rise. The earth will still rotate. Unless it's really flat. Then it'll just kind of hover. It says, Anton needs to get a 2-month ban from all the shows. Please. Thanks. It says, Juan, how are you? Anton did call every talk show in 2017. Ask Anton of the PLP, bring back the 1 cent. Let me ask y'all, the concern you had about the penny, is it still a thing? I'm glad we no longer have pennies. I'm glad. It says, is it bad that I smiled when you announced a small ban for Anton? It says, Anton needs 8 weeks to reflect on his behavior. Oh, Lord. Says you hit Anton with the yellow card. He deserved it. Let him try kick up again. Red card. Red card. Give Anton a break. Give him a chance to apologize. It's fine. We're just a week. All right. So the PLP have too much to lose with Anton as a spokesman. They need to have a word with him. He should apologize, not for himself, but the party. It says, hey, Juan, have you ever found out what happened with the down payment with the vaccines? Yeah, what do you mean? They made a down payment. I don't think it got any more complicated than that. They made the down payment, and they get with the vaccines. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, man.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going okay. Fine. I only got one thing to say.
Sure.
That's a fair elite word, man. That word with some... it was used a while ago. I mean...
Not on this radio station, it's not.
Yeah, I understand, right? But, I mean, it's only an expression. That was an absolute curse.
Mm-hmm.
The curse, you know, the kids use the big, big, heavy word.
Not my turn.
Okay, but it isn't a word to ban someone on. Thank you.
Okay, well, that's your opinion. I've been charged with ensuring that this show is conducted properly and responsibly, and I have to answer for that, so... That's where we are with that. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
All righty. It says, hello, Juan. Thanks for holding up the airwaves at Guardian Radio. Now it seems every other show is so blasé, blasé. No nice controversy, so much opinionated irrelevance. All right. Anyway, let's do this. It says, a boycott won't work. Their client base is wealthy, complimented by those of us who pretend to be rich once a year. That said, he's not looking good as an employer. Let's talk constituency makeup for a moment, if we can. I want to get through this. We say we're going to do stuff and we don't do it. I'm not sure still that the PM's going to call an election this year. All right? Now, I am of the opinion that he certainly had planned to call an election this year. But something or some set of circumstances may have ended up changing his mind. Now, no man knoweth the hour. Strangely, it's just up to him one when an election is called, which there's pros and cons to that, I suppose, even though he had promised to set a fixed election date and did not. And only he knows when he will call the election. That said, I certainly think he had planned to call an election and still might call an election this year. But it's getting very close to the budget, the budget communication, and that just wouldn't make good sense for him to do it during that process. He could do it during that process and not pass a new budget. And then the appropriations from this year would automatically continue into next year. He would ultimately have to pass a budget, but he doesn't have to do it all right then. He could not do that. I don't think that's the case. So if he's not, you need at least about 6 weeks good in the Bahamas. Four to six good weeks to campaign, to make your arguments, etc. All right? Jamaica had a very quick turnaround, an election, and due to low turnout, they got a great result in that they got a lot of seats, but it was very low turnout, and so it still doesn't feel like it was properly representative of the will of the entire eligible electorate. But nevertheless, they won. All right? Wholeness won. In the Bahamas, you're going to need about 4 weeks. Right? 4 to 6 good weeks to make your case, go around the country, etc., do everything. He's running out of time to do that before the budget communication, so I don't know that he will. It wouldn't make a ton of sense to call an election shortly after you passed a new budget due to the fact that you already have planned out the following year, and you really do want to see how the most of the year is going to play out with regard to your policy implementations, with regard to how the economy is going to be doing, how many people can get back to work, some of the projects that you're working on, et cetera, all right, to bring them to fruition. He's got some priority. Well, he's got lots of things he didn't do, but he's got some things that he seems to really want to do, such as the marijuana thing, although who knows? He could just have been hype about it and not really intended to do it. But it seems like, and we'll go maybe tomorrow through the poll on marijuana, and look at what the public is saying, and the public is very supportive of medical marijuana, according to the poll. But let's look at where we are now. Halson Moutry, who's the chair of the Constituencies Commission, say they were looking at up to 4 new seats on New Providence and maybe another seat in Grand Bahama. And my question is why, right? There's this concept that you want to have voter parity, that if you have a constituency with 7,000 voters and another constituency with 4,000 voters, that somehow more weight was given to the will of fewer people. All right, so if we're doing voter parity, if that's the concept we're going on, let's look at where we are. Me, I don't think that makes a ton of sense to me. I think that's an idealistic way to view this thing. But if you're saying that's the case, then let's look at it. What's the makeup of registered voters as of April 12th? 2021, Monday. As of Monday, Bain and Grantstown had 4,781 voters. Bamboo Town had 5,717 voters. Carmichael had 5,953 voters. Centerville had 5,187 voters. Elizabeth had 5,495. Angleston, 4,882. Fort Charlotte, 4,799. Fox Hill, 5,827. Freetown, 4,847. Garden Hills, 5,216. Golden Gates, 5,403. Golden Isles, 7,068. Killarney, 6,609. Marathon, 5,309. Mount Moriah, 5,179. Nassau Village, 5,611. Pinewood, 5,323. St. Anne's, 5,363. St. Barnabas, 4,407. Seabreeze, 5,543. South Beach, 5,439. Southern Shores, 5,529. Tall Pines, 6,110. And Yamacraw, 5,123. I don't see any point at all in rearranging the boundaries on New Providence because Golden Isles has 2,000 more voters than, let's say, Yamacraw. I don't get the point. Because if you look at where Golden Isles is situated, it is near to Killarney and Golden Gates. So we're going to do what? We're going to carve out another constituency, pull in 1,000 from Killarney and another 1,000 from Golden Isles and another. It's not making any sense to me. There's not this huge disparity in numbers where, say, Golden Isles has 10,000 people that you need to break that up in two because it's too many, because you think there are too many people in one particular constituency. Makes no sense. And so if we're talking voter parity, you're saying Grand Bahama needs another constituency. Why? Let's look at it. Central Grand Bahama, 6,616. East Grand Bahama, 6,317. Marco City, 6,191. Pine Ridge, 5,576. West Grand Bahama, 5,626. So you're going to contort yourself into all sorts of weird positions in order to carve out something from Central Grand Bahama, East Grand Bahama, Marco City, Pine. Grand Bahama's big, all right? You don't necessarily need to redistrict it in order to have everything in a neat little... It's not like there's 12,000 in Central Grand Bahama and 2,000 in East Grand Bahama. You go, oh, no, that's not at all how it should be. It doesn't make any... So this need for more constituencies... I don't get it. I think we have too many constituencies as it is. And what we've done is, and we've spoken about this, we've turned our MPs into people who are just supposed to take care of us as opposed to people who should really be representing us in Parliament. And we're supposed to go through the local government thing, and we will hopefully next week. If you say voter parity is the key and you want to have around several thousand people, or if you're shooting for about 5,000 arbitrarily, right? Why not 99 constituencies? Everyone have 1,000 people and it'll be just fine. Let's look at the Family Islands. Central and South Abaco, 3,293. North Abaco, 4,988. All right, fine. So Abaco has two constituencies. No problem. Are you going to carve out a bit of North Abaco in order to put more people in Central and South Abaco just for fun? Just to say that, hey, we did it. We made it all neat and tidy. I'm curious as to the logic, all right? I can understand if you're saying, okay, we're carving it out because some settlements are geographically closer to others, and therefore it makes sense to kind of fit them in a constituency. Then, okay, sure. But if you're saying that we just need to put a few numbers over here just so it seems neat and tidy, I don't get the purpose of it other than to say that you did it, all right? Mangrove Key in South Andros has 2,095 people. North Andros in the Barrier Islands has 2,589. Okay? Now, you could argue, numerically, Andros should just have one constituency. Right? And there, then you'd have about 4,700 people. Right? However, North Andros and the Barrier Islands is distinctly geographically different than Mangrove Key in South Andros. All right? Unless you're going to bridge them. So I can understand that. I can understand saying if you have a representative, again, we've bastardized and perverted this idea of a parliamentary representative, of someone who got to go touch everyone in the community and go have back to school drive and giveaway and an Easter basket and all this, you know. But it is what it is. So really, you could look at Andros as being enough for one constituency in terms of representative, because if you're saying there should be voter parity, why does my Mangrove Key and South Andros representative, my good Picewell Forbes, right, why does he represent fewer people, a third of the people that Killarney represents, but he still has an equal vote? Let's look at Cat Island, Runcan, San Salvador. They got 1,584 voters among three islands. An argument could be made as to Cat Island, Runcan, San Salvador doesn't really need to be a constituency. It's 1,500 people. When Golden Isles, Von Miller, I know he signed up for all that, represents 7,068 people. All right? So if we're talking about a concept of voter parity, I suppose the Family Islands should have fewer constituencies. I'm going to get cussed out for this, but let's do it. Long Island has 1,700 registered voters. All right? So Long Island at one point had two. Did it not have two? Two constituencies. Not necessary. All right. Should Long Island not be added to Exuma's and Raga Island with 3,359 constituencies? They're geographically, well, Exuma's are in Long Island. They're geographically near. Why do they have a representative when they, you're sending a whole person to Parliament to say represent them when the numbers are so few? Maykal, among Mayaguana and Nagua, Cricket Island, Acklands, and Long Key, five islands, there are 1,275 voters. 1,275. All right? Golden Isles is almost five times larger. Why should Maykal be a constituency? The reason you're doing it is because you want an MP to go touch everybody. Listen, everybody complain about the bill and the light on the street and the state of the road. And you put in a seat in Parliament for what? For 1,200 people? Doesn't make sense to me. But I understand why you group those islands together. But if we're just doing this for voter parity in order to make neat little constituency numbers, I don't understand why. All right? You gotta make sense of it for me. We got a phone call? Let's go to a phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hi, good afternoon. Are you there?
Good day, sir. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
Not bad. You know, Mr. McCartney, I must commend you today. Me and you, it's the real revolution today. You know, this voter party thing, this is really unfair. You know, these people on this island community and 1,700 seats and, you know, and what's the name, Cat Island and them, 2,000 constituents. That's wrong, man. You see, and these are the sort of things we need to deal with. You know, the other day when Holly Mutri brought it up. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody like it didn't make the front page of the Daily. You know, I would hope that your show today, your sentiments today would make the front page of the Daily, at least the front page of the Daily. So, you know, we must have voter parity in this country. Similar to the Electoral College in the United States, you know, where you get states like California, or cities like California, with all them highly populated and have more electoral seats. You see, this is how it needs to be. We can have these islands, you know, having the same power, constituencies that double the amount of voters. Thank you, sir.
Thanks. And, you know, and so let's look at it. Let's look at what happens, all right? So the election happens. You got 39 seats. The Constitution says you have to have at least 38. I don't agree with that either. I don't know why that's a thing. At one point, we had 49 seats, all right? In the 87 election, there were 49 seats representing who? For what? To go pass laws? Or is it because, and let's think about this logically, or is it because you think it's too burdensome for each person to represent all these people? And what you're saying is, all that you're saying is, it's too much for Von Miller to deal with 7,000 constituents. Why? Does he have to personally go to all their funerals? Is he required to as a member of parliament? Does he have to go to everybody's school graduation and put something in their pocket because their kid's going off to college? Why? What are you really saying that this is about? Is it about effective representation, legislative representation of the people, or is it really just about you need more people on the ground to be able to reach these people? Because we've so distorted what an MP is. And you know what? You get bombarded by it. I know. You get messages every day. I need something on my light bill. Yeah? My grandmother had an operation. She needed something. You know what I mean? I know. But guess what? You've done this to yourself. You've done this to yourself. All right? There are better ways to do this. There are better ways to represent people on the ground as political parties. There are better ways as government to be representative of people, to address people's needs. The need is overwhelming. There's a huge yawning chasm of need. But you've positioned yourself to be caretakers of these communities as opposed to legislative representatives of these communities. And you've so distorted the lines that should divide those things that now you find yourself overwhelmed, and I don't feel sorry for you. Let's go to the phones. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. You know, Vaughn, I agree with what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But, you know, this has become the innate in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
All of the catering to and pampering and trying to be the be-all and end-all to our constituents.
Right.
And it's happened over a course of years and years and years. And until we, and I'm not even going to say that, but until these persons who offer themselves and the persons who sit in the seat of power are willing to not but take an actual stand for it being a culture, a whole shift.
Yes.
In the system.
Absolutely.
It will never change. And you know, and I heard you when you said about going around to these different areas with over 5,000 persons and having to touch someone and hug someone and listen to them, you know, and, you know, make them cry about what they need, their needs, the light bill or whatever, these simplistic things.
Right.
Right? This is, and you know, you have, you're not going to get, that will make the difference. Sorry for that. That will make the difference. Just even attending a wedding or a funeral, that could, in the majority, you know, I'll just say majority of instances, whether you are voted, you will get that vote.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds petty and it sounds so light.
Yeah.
But that's the actual fact on the ground.
Yeah.
When you see persons like, and both governments, you notice anytime you see, and you can always feel the election, you can always see it coming, you can almost taste it.
Mm-hmm.
And we get blood in our eyes because we say, well, we're going to try and get what we need or want.
Right.
Now.
Yes.
They normally say, well, the last two years before the election, 15 months before the election, right?
Right.
But you see it. You see now with people complaining about contracts. being expiring and persons, other persons are now getting it after like 5 years. So and there's so many different cases. You see persons who, where there was supposed to be a freeze on hiring.
Right.
People are now being employed by government.
Correct.
You understand?
Yep.
And it is, I think it could be a instance where they were trying to do it before the next budget. But after the election, they're going to be, there will be layoffs. So, but I'm saying, but until we, and I don't know if especially during these times, the times we're going to now, we have to be honest with ourselves. And as far as to, try and understand exactly what the situation and know and what the situation is, we're not going to get, this is not going to change, born.
Yes.
Okay, but like I said, this is serious. This is a serious thing, and the politicians, and they know it. They know it. That's why you see them so hard. People we've never seen for so long. They're now here in our yard, knocking on our door, standing by the windows, listening. Then we couldn't get to see them, even get a phone call. So until we're gonna change this whole culture, this will continue to go on when your children are in university.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
And
it's very sad because we've done this to ourselves, yes? So I saw a political ad on Facebook, and for the love of God, I wish I could make him stop. And it's got, they took the, y'all got time too. They took like the picture of Brave Davis looking over the balcony in Washington or whatever like this. They like cut out Brave Davis and had him looking at the airport in Cat Island. Which, you know, it's just the one building kind of thing. It's nothing. It looks bad. I don't know what the state is now. I went there a long time ago. And they go, well, what has Brave Davis done for Cat Island? Well, what Brave Davis supposed to do for Cat Island? Cat Island's got like 1,200 people. What kind of, what airport do y'all expect the government to put in Cat Island? And don't at me because you from Cat Island. Like, what are you expecting? Honestly. Like, because he's the MP, he should give a state-of-the-art, brand-new, spanking-new airport that is way outside of the scope of their needs for 1,200 people? I don't get what we're we're supposed to send millions of dollars. It doesn't matter if I'm putting an 11... $1 million school in Ragged Island, right? Because they feel bad about neglecting the place for so long. How many kids go to the school in Ragged Island? Did they need an $11 million? You see what I'm saying? We've so distorted this. There's no rhyme or reason to it. You know, I know, yeah, it's going to be Hurricane Shells and all that. That's great. But we're doing it for purposes that were never intended to be. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Vaughn, what's up, brother?
Hey, buddy, how's it going?
All is well?
Yes.
Hey, Vaughn, my question to not only to you, but to every sound thinking, sensible thinking behemoth in this country. I mean, why is it that when governments change, right, and they give Vaughn McCartney a job, why Vaughn McCartney believes, I'm only hypothetically using your name, my brother, He owns the job. In other words, you could talk to the next person who's been there way, way, way more years than you, but because you're a politically appointed,
right.
You know, and
you feel protected.
I gotta be honest, Mr. McCartney, yeah. I really want to get this off my chest. I want people in this government to realize we all are bohemians, all right? We all are bohemians, right? And we all need a job. So you must, I say that to say this, don't victimize people because of their political affiliation. Because remember one thing, Mr. McCartney, the world around. And I realize one thing, the government will change. And the sad part about it, when the government change and Vaughn decides to put his people there, you can't get mad if Vaughn people decide to victimize and people might say tick for tat, but let me tell you something, when you're taking people's livelihood and you're taking bread out of people's mouth, hey, and they churn home and hungry, and they know they to the job with the qualifications, but because you are politically appointed, you could come there and control them. Be very careful. Be very careful, people.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, Mr. Men is bread butter.
some of your bread and butter. Be careful how you treat your brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Have a good day, Mr. McCartney.
Thanks, DeWitt. Yeah, definitely. You want to, you know, we should break the cycle of victimization. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So what do you think about the $9.7 million renovation at Grossman House?
Yeah,
Dave needed to buy a whole new parcel of land and do Ocean View.
I'm gonna be nice today. Yeah.
That's worse than the school in Ragged Island. I mean, that's the same budget.
Like $9 million to rent for
$9 million
for what?
Exactly. Are your gold fixtures going in there? What?
For what
the
purpose?
Nine?
Right.
Is it imported from Italy?
Like, close it, right?
But we don't have running water in Centerville and so forth.
Right, yes.
Like,
exactly.
What is really a priority?
Right.
You know, people still living in tents from Dorian and, you know.
But the DRA don't have $200,000 to put the modular homes on Sweeting's Quay. But
BPL can't get new generators.
Spend millions of dollars to renovate Government House because that makes complete sense.
Because nobody has lived there for 7 years.
Exactly. When no one lives there, we're going to fix it up. And will C.A. Smith live there? Who knows, you know? Yeah, I agree. Totally misguided priority. Agreed. I don't know who started it. I don't know if it was an F&M thing or PLP thing. You know how I feel about the whole Governor General thing. I don't want it. But please, let's prioritize. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay. No, I'm your friend, long-time friend, always number one fan.
Mm-hmm.
You said something earlier that I have to disagree with you.
Sure.
What you said in reference to the airport, to Cat Island.
Right, okay.
And I'm not specifically talking about Cat Island. I'm just talking about maybe my hometown, McCorner Airport.
Right, okay.
I feel like if there's 5% living on North Island, I feel like those airports need to be renovated and up good standard, right?
We can agree with that, yeah.
Been paying, the 5 people paying not just their taxpayers' money, but they deserve it, okay? Persons are traveling back and forth. You're asking persons like us to visit the island more. You're asking visitors from all over the world to come to the family island. So I hope the government ain't looking at it. In that sense that you're looking at it, say, because of the population. Because somebody...
But don't you have to, though?
...actually McWarner Airport, great God. That's in horrible state. And it's been so from Alfred Gray was the minister there.
Yeah. No. See, don't confuse what I'm saying. I'm not saying the airport should be dilapidated. I'm saying that I don't know that you need a brand new airport with all the fixings and trimmings.
Not really. At least renovated and proper condition.
We can agree
you know?
On that. We can agree on that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's do some text. We got a break. All right. Let's break. We'll be back.
Did you know that $5 can get you delicious combos fit for a king? Well, it can, but only at Burger King Nassau. Not only is the big in-flavor flame-grilled Whopper Jr. combo you love available for just $5, but now you can enjoy a crispy chicken Jr. sandwich topped with bacon plus fries and a drink for only $5 as well. At Burger King Nassau, you get to choose between a chicken BLT or flame-grilled beef in 2 great combos that include fries and a drink for only $5, including VAT. Value has a new home at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
At Bahamas Bus and Truck Company Limited, we provide vehicles known for quality and durability. From the iconic Jeep Wrangler to the award-winning Grand Cherokee, we've got your everyday driver covered. For larger tasks, our Ram 1500, Mitsubishi Fuso Canter Trucks, CMC Verica Vans, and Fuso Rosa Jitneys do way more than just deliver. We even carry a wide variety of pre-owned vehicles. To keep you going, our parts, service department, and body shop can accommodate our brands and others. Call us today at 322-1722 or email info@bahamasbus.com.
Are you tired of that boring 9-to-5? Do you need a new and exciting career? Visit the Bahamas Technical and Vocational Institute, where your passion can become your profession. Let us introduce you to a career in information technology, cosmetology, construction, office administration, auto mechanics, electronics, and more. Say goodbye to that 9-to-5 and hello to the possibilities. Call us today at 502-6338. Apply by November 16th, 2020.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs. Offer ends May 31st.
Calling all Primo fans! Marco's Pizza's got a new special! That's right, the Trio Deal was made just for you. Enjoy one large, one topping pizza, cheesy bread, and a 2-liter soda for just $20. At Marco's Pizza, we're all about quality. That's why we make our dough fresh every day. Our specials are hot, delicious, and affordable. Three items, just $20. Order your Trio Deal today on our website, marcospizzabahamas.com. Marco's, every store, every day, the Italian way. Hello, Primo.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution. It's so unfortunate we didn't get to this earlier because this is important. So, what you can tell by your numbers in your constituencies, one of the other things you can tell would also be your needs, right? So, we talked about the airport for Cat Island. I'm not saying Cat Island should have a rundown airport at all. I'm just saying what level, the government has limited resources. What level of resource do you put into these islands where the populations are so small? And yes, they pay taxes, but do they pay enough taxes to fund these things themselves? No, of course not. Right? So Ragged Island doesn't contribute $11 million or anywhere near it in taxation to the public treasury. All right? But we do look at providing resources as best we can to these islands. So sure, Cat Island should have an airport that is functional, that works, that is not completely dilapidated. I don't know that it is. But I don't know that we've seen that as a priority from any government in the last couple of years. If we're looking at airports, so Grand Bahama has effectively no airport, but you can still fly in and out of Grand Bahama. Look at the population numbers in Grand Bahama, all right? And then look at the population numbers in Long Island. Yeah, we're spending many, many millions of dollars for a brand new airport in Long Island, and we're still kind of trying to figure out what we're doing with the airport in Grand Bahama, where the population is exponentially larger. All right, so you got to look at these things as where the government placing its priorities. All right? Someone said, I concur with the last caller. Cat Island Airport was built in 1959 under the UBP government. Fix it up. Not a big monstrosity, but a nice one. Yeah, you could fix it up. Yes, I agree with that. Sure. I'm not saying they shouldn't have an airport. Don't get me wrong. All right. Says, hi, maybe Megan and the Prince are coming to reside at Government House. I don't want them here either. I mean, I know a lot of y'all love Megan. I don't want any of them. This says, we need a new airport because the old one turns away a lot of investors. I guess, I mean, we could have a prolonged discussion about the Cat Island Airport. You're building the airport hoping investors are going to come, or do you have negotiations and discussions with an investor, and the investor says, I'm going to put a project here that's worth $50, $60 million. I'm going to need some investment in an airport. And that's the kind of discussion you can have with the developer. But I don't know that you put millions of dollars into an airport there, just hoping it attracts investment. I could be wrong about that, but I would not. This says they should take $8 million and build some houses in Abaco for all those displaced persons and start to really assist and rebuild Abaco. It says, I know why. It's $1 million per child for that Ragged Island school. Yeah. It says, Mayaguana Airport is rotting and the bathroom ain't got no door. Rum Key, Lil Shack Airport got blown over a few years ago, so they don't even have a building. Barrie Islands Airport rotting. Holes in the boxing and bathroom walls. They're doing a new thing on Barrie Islands, I saw. Yeah. And we could have the discussion about what the priorities are. But if I'm a government and I got 90,000 people, or not 90,000, if I got over 200,000 people living on New Providence, I don't want to ignore the Family Islands, but I'm probably going to put the bulk of my resources where the most of the population is. That's just good sense, right? In terms of an $11 million airport in Ragged Island, I don't understand it. All right. We got a call. Sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Nope. Okay. This says, I agree, McCartney, boundary changes during this time of COVID is just going to cause more people having to line up for changes to their voters cards, which we are trying to avoid. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
McCartney, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you?
This is this Loving Care, Sound Williams.
Hey, buddy.
You know what I noticed?
Mm-hmm.
The people are walking around campaigning. What happened to our disabled people and our handicapped people in this country?
Mm-hmm.
Loving Care was the one who took the sign language to all of the parties in this country. And look at the disabled people, the handicapped people. They're walking in the street. They may say, you have any handicapped people in the house? Any disabled people? Look at the money. They're going to the shop and they're getting robbed. The blind people, they know what's going on in this country. And the handicapped people is very upset in this country with our people who are in charge of this, running this country.
No.
Talk about that for me, please.
Okay. We don't have time to expound on that today, but we can certainly talk about that another time. It says, one, all we need is no more than 10 MPs. All we need is a minister of New Providence. One minister can do the job. Look at governors or mayors of American cities. One man can represent hundreds of thousands of people. Yeah, again, we have lost sight of what the House of Assembly is for. And I hear MPs who cry a lot about the need, and sure, I get that. But at the same time, you sit in the House of Assembly that can implement a plan for local government on New Providence that would alleviate an extreme amount of pressure off of the members of the sitting members of Parliament, particularly on New Providence, particularly on Grand Bahama. You sit there and you do nothing until you're willing to actually make a change to empower more people inside their communities to take care of their communities and not wait on you and queue up and hope that you get to them eventually, then expect more of the same. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan McCartney. How are you?
I'm great. How's it going?
Wonderful. Juan McCartney, I agree with some of your callers, and I disagree with some things that you all said today.
Okay.
What is taking place in Ragged Island? That is being built through embarrassment, okay? They're embarrassed because they've taken so long to get something to those people.
Yeah.
And today, after they finished building this $11 million, what they're building, Ragged Island used to be a port for shipping and to go to the rest of the region. And if they can spend some more money there to just build another shipping lane, a business for that island, okay, and for the lady about Mayaguana, I totally agree with her. In Cat Island, yes, build those places up because here it is. This is a government that finds money to do what it feels like doing, okay. And all the time they're telling you they don't have the money, okay. Salaries have to be paid. You owe people pension money, and yeah, you're finding money election time, and coming on the TV telling us, but it's $9 million. You start for governors, but man, please get this thing right. And after all of this, you take whatever they're giving you and still vote them out. Thank you, Warren McCartney.
Okay, my brother. Yeah, we could have a discussion about the needs of Cat Island, Meaguana. In fact, I think we should. And it's a broader national discussion. How much do you, again, you only have so much money. How much attention do you pay to the islands where the populations are dwindling? There's this idea often, we're out of time, we can't really get into it. Sometimes there's an idea of pouring resources into things for nostalgic reasons without looking at the current realities on the ground. So if you're looking at islands that are geographically near each other, yes, you can build a runway and some sort of port, right? But do each of those islands need an airport terminal? So for instance, Crooked Island and Acklands are right next to each other. Do they each need an airport terminal? Or could you not put an airport where it would be best suited on either one of those islands and let them ferry across? You say the seas are choppy, the weather's bad. Is it possible for some sort of bridge network to work in some of these islands as opposed to just pouring resources into them? Because, well, my family's from Cat Island. I grew up on Cat Island. That's what Ellsworth Johnson says every time he opens his mouth. So I need to treat them the same way that a population center 10 times the size of that would be treated. And those are questions you have to ask yourself. But we can't go through them today. All right? Says, one, I thought the FNM said they wouldn't touch the boundaries after getting elected. Remember, D'Aguilar was furious, saying gerrymandering gone to bed after they cut some of Blair out of Freetown. Tell him stop playing and work on the promises they made. Still waiting for Village Road paving, too. LOL. Yeah, I'm still waiting on Village Road, too. I'll be honest with you. It's getting tougher to navigate. All right, we got to get out here. We'll be back tomorrow. No worries. Hopefully, we can have a discussion about medical marijuana and marijuana in general. All right, you guys take care out there. Have a great day. Shavargo Lang's up next with Z Live Off the Record. We'll talk tomorrow, Lord willing.